Prayer's really not words. You could come together and say all the words you want to say. That's really not prayer. The desire, the sincere desire of a heart, is prayer that God hears. Our meditation's very vital. Things that we think upon, we've been stating periodically through this message over and over. The enemy will do everything that he can to bring back past that we've been preaching from the book of Joshua for the last few weeks. We brought you from chapter 3 up to chapter 6. Preached Wednesday night on chapter 6, the first part, the first 8 verses. And that past being buried in the Jordan. Never saw this before. And I can assure you, every battle that we get in, even though we know that God's fighting that battle, Joshua saw the captain of the Lord's host with a sword in his hand, typifying he's the one going to fight that battle. Knowing God's fighting this battle, this is a faith battle. We preached to you a few weeks back. They come over the Jordan, had to be sanctified. There had to be a separation before the victory could come. Before they cross that Jordan. That's the battle of the unknown. God spoke to Joshua and said, you've never been hitherto this way before. Every one of us have fought battles we didn't understand. That's the battle of the unknown. We'll never get the victory without first seeking God, for God to set us apart for that battle. Some of you that may not have been here any in the times that we've been preaching on this, let me give you a definition. What the Webster defines victory to be: success in any contest or struggle involving the defeat of an opponent or the overcoming of an obstacle. And I've said over and over in this, we're not in a contest. We are in a struggle. We are in a battle. A conflict must be the defeat of the enemy. The Greek word defines victory to be deliverance, help, safety, or salvation. We stated as we first started preaching on this, the first victory that you'll ever overcome in a battle is the victory of salvation. God ain't going to help you to win victories till you've repented. And that's part of victory, salvation. This Greek word, the Hebrew word rather, part of it, salvation, deliverance, safety. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? In the book of Joshua, if you want to stand with us, folks, I believe we need to pray. We could get into this a little bit more in prayer later, but right now I'm going to go to what the Lord's laid on our heart tonight. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 8, and I don't know how far down to read, maybe down to verse number 12, Joshua chapter 6, verse number 8, and the word of God says, and it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. I want you to remember that. Now here's the verse number 9, and actually verse number 13 that I was hung up on, that I knew God was pointing toward, that I couldn't seem to find what He was wanting me to bring out in this. But I believe God showed me this morning, sitting right over there. Verse number 9 says, and the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets. And listen to this, and the reward came after the ark. The priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither with any word proceed, shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. And listen to what he said, the latter part of verse number 10, then shall you shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. I'm going to stop right there. Because I probably won't get any further than this, but the Lord's help, I'm not going to preach too long tonight. You can be seated. We're continuing on the title, I Have Victory Over. Now, I want you to notice something here with me. When they come to the Jordan, the Ark of the Covenant went before them. When the priest's feet that bear that ark touched that water of Jordan, the Bible says the waters divided. But now, since they have crossed over, the victory of Egypt, they've conquered. The victory of the wilderness, they have conquered. Now the victory of the Jordan, the battle of the unknown, they have conquered. And we have stated to you the memorial stones that were taken out of that Jordan, meaning this is where the priest's feet stood. You could have never got that victory. The Jordan River had overflowed its banks at time of harvest. You'd have never gotten that victory outside of God. I've stated over and over in this message, it's one thing, friend, for us to get the victory, but it's another thing for us to keep the victory. Many get the victory day after day after day, but they can't seem to find what it takes to keep that victory. I want to share with you what God placed in my spirit that stirred me, challenged me, and excited me. When they come across that Jordan River, now those stones have been carried back. I stated to you last Wednesday night, the ones that were brought to Gilgal, the lodging place where they lodged the night after they went over. There's a place that the captain of the Lord's host, Jesus himself, met with them there. It's holy ground, the Bible says. But now I can see the stones are being taken back into the Jordan. And he didn't say this will be a memorial forever, but he said they will be there forever. And what he's simply saying, those stones are put in that Jordan River, and the Jordan resumes. The flow again covers up those stones. And as I stated to you, David said, as far as the east is from the west, oh God, thou hast removed my sins. And he stated, Micah said, that in the depths of the sea hast thou cast our iniquities, never to be remembered again. He put that there for your benefit, sir. You've come across the Jordan. The battle, the conflict, you have won. You've defeated that enemy. And now, one of the greatest battles, friend, we ever have will be the battle in our mind. It'll be the very conflict where you have a fight not with your brother, your sister, but self. Getting self out of the way will be one of the greatest battles you'll ever have to get victory over. But I can see here, as I stated Wednesday night, got to bring this up to where we're at for those who wasn't here. Many times the enemy will be in conflict. I've had the Lord lay things on my heart. When somebody says, being a preacher, have you ever backed up on God? Sure we have. We're human just like you are. We fight battles just like you do. And there's been times, Brother Fred, that I was almost to a place I wanted to give up. I said, God, I'm not worthy. It's not my worthiness at all. Listen, I know we've got a group of people today that says if you do something wrong, they just count you off, that you're a hypocrite. But I'm here to tell you, all have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. Now, I'm not totally ignorant of God's Word. I can tell you, he's not talking about the sinners that has never been converted. Those that have never been converted were born in sin and iniquity. But he's talking about once we've come to the saving grace, the only one that's never sinned was the captain of the Lord's host, Jesus Christ himself. He was the only one that could be the perfect example, without spot or without blemish. We're all have sinned and come short of the glory. There's been many times that enemy has caused me to think of it, and I almost bring me to the place of defeat. You wouldn't know the times back years ago that I battled so many times that I think, well, I'm going to tell the church Sunday I'm just giving up, going to quit. Not giving up on God, but responsibility. And a lot of times it was because, Brother Charles, I allowed the devil to use the tool of flesh and work, beat me to death, work me over in my mind. You've made a mistake. You've got angry at somebody and said something to them you shouldn't have said. You've thought things about somebody you shouldn't have thought. And now God's trying to lead me into a victory. We've come to the Jordan. The Lord said, the Jordan's there. But now those stones, I've caused the Jordan bank, the Jordan waters to flow back and cover up that past. I'll not remember it if you won't remember it. And the only way that it'll ever be remembered, if we allow the flow of the river of God's stream to stop flowing as it should inside of us. When we get shallow in the things of God, we'll start remembering that past. That old enemy will bring up things. And the Lord's saying now, the next march ahead, you see, it's one victory after another because it's one battle, Sister Gail, after another. You think we've got across the Jordan, we've got it made? No, sir. No, ma'am. There's giants in that land. There's real devils out there. Just because you come in the right standing in the place that you set yourself apart, I'm telling you, God's getting you ready. Every battle we fight could possibly be fought with different artillery every time. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And here, the children of Israel is going up. I can tell you, folks, it would be hard after we had followed the ark of God. For now, the ark's starting to follow us. I didn't understand this in the entirety, but God just spoke to me. The reward followed after. I dealt with Wednesday night the word seven, the number seven. God created everything in this world in 6 days. The seventh day He rested. That means the number seven means completion. And He took seven priests, seven trumpets, and they marched 7 days. And then the seventh day, it's the perfection of God, sir. In the seventh day, they marched seven times around that wall. Now, there's a reason for this. Listen, did you hear what I read to you? God spoke to Joshua, the captain of the Lord's host. Joshua had been on holy ground until we can follow up the words of God, friend. We've had to talk with the captain of the Lord's host. He's in charge, not me. He's in charge, not you. It's the Lord that's in charge tonight. And He said, here's the way this battle's to be fought. You're to march around, and you're not to say a word. Don't utter a sound out of your voice until I bid you to sound. The only sound that's to be made, those priests are to sound those trumpets of ram horns as they go around the walls of Jericho. 6 days they did this, and the Bible says that they didn't utter a sound. I can tell you, friend, I know God spoke to my spirit many times as I marched around. That old enemy, the defeater of our soul, if we allow him to be, he began to talk to many of them and try to get them not to follow through in the direct commandments of God. And I can tell you today, there's many saying, what would this hurt? What would that hurt? Friend, if God said do, you better. If He said don't, you better not. Because that's exactly what it'll do. It'll make a difference whether you get the total victory or whether you don't get the victory of God in your life. Many think today we've replaced Pentecost with charismatic. I would dare to say 70 to 75% of folks that profess Pentecostal, which means experience, has never had it. They don't know what the experience of Pentecost is. All they know is a bunch of radicalness that somebody's, that doesn't impress me at all. I've been in services, folks are shouting. I've been in services, they're leaping, jumping, and running. And I knew God was a million miles from that. All it was a bunch of flesh working up. I'm not putting that down. That can be real. If we followed through in the commandments of God, that can be real. But I can tell you this, before you ever get to that place of victory, hear this if you hear nothing else that I say in this service tonight. There must be a place you've died somewhere between the wilderness there that you realized the Lord promised me I'll make it to that land, but I have to die somewhere between there and getting there. I must die. Jesus said He must increase that we may He will increase and we decrease. When He begins to live in us, we begin to die out. That's just how it works in our lives. And listen, folks, when they set themselves apart, meaning they separated themselves from the things of the world, there's never a true shout until there's first become a separation. There's never a genuine victory until we first separated from the things of the world. Those that are shouting that the world's hanging all over them, it's a religious shout. They've never separated themselves, sanctified, set apart to the Master's use. Religion won't get us there, but sanctification will. And now, the priest, I got to deal with this. If I can just bring it out to you the way the Lord give it to me. They come across the Jordan, the ark's ahead of them. That means the mercy. The cherubims are there. That was, everybody could see that. Not everybody sees what's in this book, but everybody sees the cover. You know, whatever cover says, holy. Yeah. Holy. 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 What are they saying in heaven right now? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, which shall be hereafter. Listen, folks, they can see, they saw that ark before them. The reputation of those cherubims there kneeling over that ark. It's the mercy seat. They didn't get the judgment they deserved. Brother Charles, if we got what we deserved, we never would be burning in the devil's hell. They didn't get what they deserved going through that wilderness, but He showed them mercy. Mercy's going before them. But now they've crossed over the past life's buried. They're in a new dispensation. They're in a different time. And now they're leading the way. And David said in Psalms 23 and verse 6, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, folks, there's a time God says He has chosen man to do His work. If He has to use a rooster, He will. If He has to use a donkey, He will. But He'd rather choose you, sir, to do His work, that you could go ahead and be a leader in the armies of God. The priest went on bearing with the ram's horn, blowing the trumpets. If you read on down in verse 13, you'll find that the men of war went, the armed men, they were going out before. They're not using that artillery. Now, in case somebody says, well, why did they send out the man of valor ahead? Well, I can tell you why. Because it was to terrify the enemy. It was to terrify. They knew God's a man of war. I can tell you, just as Joshua saw the captain of the Lord's host stand there at Gilgal, and he had the sword in his hand. And Joshua said, are you for us or for our adversary? He said, I'm the captain of the host of the Lord's army. And he said, take off or pull off thy shoes, for in the ground where you stand is holy ground. Joshua bowed down his face to the earth, began to worship. And after that, the Lord gave him the diagram. Here's how it's to be done. Listen, folks, I believe it's very important That's why I'm terrified to look into another book. This old King James Bible inspired me. You tell any preacher you want to, I wouldn't give a nickel for anybody. Preach out of anything. I could preach out of the newspaper. But is it going to get me to heaven? I was at an auction some time ago, and the auctioneer was trying to sell something. He stopped, and he said, "Who wants to testify about this?" Just because you got a testimony don't mean it's good. That means to tell about it. Tell what you know. Nobody said anything. Listen, folks, it's sad to say today the majority of the church doesn't have the true testimony of God that the world's looking to see and to hear in their hearts and lives today. It's gloom, despair, and agony on me. It ought to be the victories of God in our life. I come into the Red Sea, but the Lord parted it. Listen, the Bible says it used to be that the Christians' hearts melted. I can remember as a kid of a boy going into the old Rock Creek Assemblies of God, going into the old community church at Cozy Home. Power of God moved so much that an old mischievous young teenage boy been into a lot of mischief things, not like they are today, but things you knew was wrong. Go in that church building. Power of God be so real that your heart would just begin to melt. You know God's done told on you to somebody. Somebody been praying, and God's done went and told the preacher. God done went and told somebody what you've done, and your heart begin to melt. Listen, the Bible says that those there behind the walls of Jordan, the kings also said when they saw the children of Israel as they parted, that Jordan rivers divided by the way where the walls of Jericho were, and where they came across was only about 3/4 of a mile. They had very good view of seeing the children of Israel as they marched across. You'd have had to been nearly blind to not seen it. It was miles long, people and animals that come across that Jordan. And as they saw that, the Bible says that their hearts begin to melt. Their spirit begin to leave them. You know why? The captain of the Lord's host had revealed himself to the law. They knew they were in a heap of trouble, folks. If God be for us, who can be against us? If He's on our side, we have nothing to fear. But if He's not on our side, we've got everything to fear tonight. We've got everything to fear. The reward followed. The ark's behind us. Anybody know what a reward is? Remember here some time ago I told y'all I lost my billfold dozing. I'd sold a vehicle. Man, I do some crazy things. I don't remember how much money it was, but it's too much money for an old hillbilly boy to be ignorant enough to climb on a dozer and carry around. It might have been $1,500, might have been $4,000. I can't remember. I done forgotten. If I told you a number, I'd tell you different than I told you the last time. So I don't remember. But it was more than what I ought to have been carrying around. And I sold the vehicle. And I got up there in that dozer. The back of the seat and the bottom of the seats separated. And my pocket, it pushed that billfold little to little, riding that old rough dozer. It worked out. Fell down on the ground. I pushed up dozer piles that was 2 stories high. And there's root wads that's bigger than a Volkswagen. And there's stump holes that was waist deep. We dug trees out with an excavator. I'm not kidding you. These holes that I'd covered in that was every bit of 6 foot deep, where we dug out trees that were 30 inches to 3 foot wide. And you could have thrown a Volkswagen in some of them holes. I got out of there, and you talk about somebody's heart nearly fainting. My billfold's gone. I got home before I noticed it. Went back and I said, "Oh God, let that billfold be laying under the seat of that dozer. The back of the dozer's open." It come out of my pocket through the seat and right out the back. And I said, "All right, kids, I'm at a panicky stage now. You'll never see that billfold again." I said, "All right, boys. Everybody, get out here. We're going to find that billfold." They wasn't more excited about that. Nothing. They could care less if I found that billfold. But you know what? I stayed in a few minutes. I said, "All right, $100 reward." And they's a running over each other. One of them grabbed the hoe and another grabbed the rake. They headed out there and dust is flying. They're raking anything, everything. I said, all right, boys, here's what we're going to do. I pushed it up in the dozer piles. Probably no hope to find it, but start digging around the edges. Maybe you can see it. It's a black built ball. And one of the kids, I didn't think this was funny at all. They said, I found it. Didn't find it at all. And just pulling a prank. After about 10 minutes, I said, now, $100 reward. They didn't get that reward before they went, sir. The reward followed after. We're in a conflict. We're in a battle. We are in a struggle. There's many obstacles between here and the victory that's ahead for you, sir. It'll cost you something to get that. But I can tell you, the reward's following after. If you battle on, sir, if you battle on, ma'am, if you fight the fight, lay hold of eternal life, the reward's following after. And now, we hadn't been there a few minutes. I mean, I'm gloom and doom, you know. My old lips are hanging down. I'm whooping myself. Can't blame nobody else. I was the one who lost that bill for. I'd already cashed the check or the note better. I got cash in my pocket. It ain't going to be refundable. If it had been the check, I could have got it rolled over. But it done been cash. And now I'd give $100 reward when it's bound. The reward's falling after. And Greg, we hadn't been there but a little while. I told them to dig around all of these, mounds of dirt big as this building, and treetops and roots and all kinds of debris. And directly, Jacob, he's off out there gandering around with the stick. And directly, he just said, I found it. And I said, yeah. Yeah. About 100 yards away, I seen something black. Plopping there. I'd run over it. I'd covered it up and just barely a little corner of it sticking up. He took that stick and flipped it up out of the ground. He made 100. I'm telling you, I was tickled to death. I grabbed that bill pole and guess what? He got the first thing out of it. It was the reward. $100 reward. What are you saying, preacher? I'm here to tell you, we're marching on. The victory's ahead. But the reward's following. If you give up in the middle, if you give up a third of the way or two-thirds of the way, the reward won't be yours. It's a following behind. But as sure as you're here tonight, if you'll march on to victory, and it's not about how loud you can shout. I can tell you, this march of victory has to be done by faith. The writer of Hebrews chapter 11 said, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell flat down. By faith, the man of war went ahead of the priests. They went ahead of the ones that blew the trumpets. The seven priests, the seven ram horns marched around. But that enemy is getting more terrified every day. Do you know this is the only battle that I can recall that it does not talk of anybody of the Israelites being killed? There was not a fatality of one of them. Why was that? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm sure wanting to tell you. The reason, a lot of times we said tonight, we bring things upon ourselves. We become our worst enemy in a lot of cases simply because we won't listen. We rebel. We try to do things. We take shortcuts, or we think it's easier. I can tell you, friend, there may be an easier way to dig a post hole than getting an old punch and a dry ground and a bar. But I can tell you, there's no easy way of getting to heaven other. You've got to go by the way of the cross. If it takes you across the Red Sea, so be it. He'll provide and He'll make a way. If it takes you going through the land of the Philistines, I can tell you He'll provide. He'll make a way where there seemed to be no way. But we a lot of time try to make it easy to serve the Lord. And we try to fight battles that should be a spiritual and is spiritual battle with carnal artillery. We try to fight with flesh weapons, and it does not work that way. It does not work that way. And we think a lot of times something that worked one time will work again. The children of Israel even thought that same thing. But I can tell you, folks, we better pray and ask God every time. the direction that we go in whatever we're doing. It might have worked one time. It might not work again. Ask Moses about that. Moses, God told him to smite a rock and it worked. Water come out. But the next time, you see, he wants to use the same old weapon. Flesh gets a hold of him. A little anger rises up in him. And God said, speak to it. Moses is angry. And you can't say that you could blame him, because I gave Moses meekest man upon all the face of the earth. And the Bible says the water still came, but it didn't work. Every one of those that drank died but two. Before they got to where they was going, that rebellion in them, Moses died. I believe he went to heaven. I know he did, because they saw the Lord there at Mount Transfiguration, and John and Peter saw him there. He's in heaven. But I can tell you, he brought a lot of hardship upon himself and the children of Israel by disobeying. Listen, folks, we lose battles a lot of times. And the reward that would be ours, the promised land was promised to Moses, but there's conditions in that. Heaven's promised to you, dear friend. And we've got so many religious folks today that says God wouldn't send anybody to hell. He's not sending anybody. If they go, they go by their own free choice. He's made it possible everybody could go to heaven. And I can tell you, he ain't like the devil. He's not an intruder. He's a gentleman. And he will not push himself on anybody. And if you reject him long enough, you can go the path that leads to hell. He's not sending you there. That place was prepared for Satan and the fallen angels. Anybody else that goes will go as an intruder. The reward is coming behind. I got to hurry. And as they march around those walls, don't you know? Now, we're not just talking about a group of 300 men or 3,000 men. As they march around those walls, I believe the enemy begin to try to defeat what victory we have in us, talk us down, begin to bring up the past. I'm telling you, there's been times I stated this morning, I believe it bears repeating. Brother Scott talked about he don't want to go back, he don't want to do wrong, he don't want to backslide and go back anymore. But when he did, the Lord reached down and picked him up and got him back on track. He's merciful, he's gracious, he's long-suffered toward us, not willing. The Bible says that any perish. But I thought here how I stated this morning, I'll be just have no reason to be down at all. Be up in spirit. And just that quick, that old enemy go talking to my mind. Bring up something to the past or something. Have me down, almost defeated, discouraged. I seem like don't want to do, don't want to go, don't want to be around anybody. And that ain't me. I don't know if the Lord's allowed me to maybe feel feelings of others. I don't know what it is. But that ain't me at all. And I get discouraged. But when I go to pray and when I begin to seek God, I can tell you, folks, things begin to change. And God begins to speak to me. I've got to be in the place that when I open up this old Word of God, this inspired book, when I open it up, it begins to talk to me. It becomes a part of me. It makes me alive because it's alive. I can't be dead and have that Word inside of me and His Spirit flowing through me. But that old enemy will bring things in our mind that will bring us into captivity. The flow of Jesus begins to get shallow, and those rocks that were put in that Jordan begins to be visible, and He begins to talk in our mind and bring us into captivity. Probably not a one here, but what He hadn't done that way if you're at any age at all. But I'm here to tell you, maybe you said, they ain't never been nobody, but what hadn't got angry and said something to somebody they shouldn't have said? Nowadays, I just say it to Diane. I'm getting a little smarter. Now, I can tell you, if she didn't really love me, she'd have every right to hate my guts. A wife the other day we went to counsel with, Diane, I ain't going to say who it was, But we was counseling her, and her husband's having problems. And I said, I can tell you it could be much worse. I said, just what's going on? She said, bottom line, I hate his guts. I said, really? I named two or three people I thought was worse husbands than what he was. I said, you could be married to them. She said, oh my God. It could be worse. And a lot of, you see what happens a lot of times. Now, there's been times that, now Diane probably, she probably never has thought that. But there's times I have thought I hated folks' guts simply because I was angry. That old flesh nature come up in me. I'm preaching to me. I see a halo around every one of you, so I'll just preach to me. Somebody make me mad. They kick my dog, so I'll kick theirs. They said something about something I'm doing. I say something about, I haven't done that in years. But I can tell you, folks, that flesh nature, the one that I've said to you is the worst enemy Leo Dye's ever had. That old unruly member that John talked about will get out of jail. He give us bars of ivory to keep it in jail, but we still let it out. Gets out of jail and begins to say things like, I hate you. I remember some of the early years. We were talking back here in the back after church today. Sister Pamela said, I feel for newlyweds today. And she said something about the first year they was married was the miserablest year of her life or something like that. Was it? I said, Diane, come in. I said, Diane, how many years was miserable in your life when we got married? And she said, a lot of them. I said, have we got over the hump yet? And she said, almost. I was thinking, surely she's just going to jump right in and say, yes, darling, I ain't nobody I'd rather be with than you. You're my best friend. You're not just my companion. You're my best friend. I can tell you, when somebody can love you and know you like a husband or wife, that's love. But better than that, when somebody can love you and know you like God loves you, that is love. That he could give himself for somebody that's worthless like myself. Somebody that's unlovable. He can love unto death. Listen, folks. He did that for you and I to have victory over the flesh, have victory over the tongue, have victory over the mind, have victory over every battle or obstacle that the devil brings our way. Let me hurry. Almost around that Jordan. The New Age Church says we ain't about to go this many services and not shout. I don't care what the preacher says. Now this is good if you'll just listen. Take it to heart. Folks don't care what the authority is anymore and what it says. We got very little reverence in the house of God today. People will go again. If the preacher's got a standard of dress, we ought to go with the standard of dress. I guarantee you, if you went to the courthouse, you go to the jails. Charles can tell you that courthouse. I was at Mercer County Court one day, and it says in there no shorts, no tank tops. Here come in a lady had on one of them shirts that she'd put in something that made it shrink or something, and it's about this long, and he. It called her name. She got up, come up there, and before he said anything else, he said, young lady, you go home, change clothes, and come back. She went home and done something. I wasn't there when she come back, but she sure went home. She left. She didn't argue with him. Why? She knew he was the authority. Perhaps she didn't know that before she come, but she knew he's the authority. He has the authority to tell me that I can be found guilty or not guilty. I can tell you, folks, if we go again, the authority of the under-shepherds, we're really going again the authority. If they're hearing from God, we're going again the authority of God. But nowadays, most folks can't stand authority. We're producing a generation that can't be disciplined. They don't want nobody to have control over them. And we don't folks all the time telling me, well, I'd come to church, but I can't do nothing with my kids. I've never seen a kid yet I couldn't do something with. If the government would keep their mouth shut and everybody keep their hands out of it, I wouldn't abuse that child, but I'll guarantee you I can get that child's attention. I'm not talking about try to beat them to death. I'm telling them, here's how it is. You stay under this roof, you go by these rules. You break these rules, it's just like Sheriff Hickman says, if I catch you drinking, it's a DWI. If I catch you speeding, it's a speeding ticket. You know the rules. You'll have to pay the penalty. And that's just the way it is. But folks, here's the sad part. If we don't get under authority today, we will be under authority one day. Everybody will. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That's the penalty. But the gift of God's eternal life through Christ Jesus my Lord. If he said, go down, he said to Naaman, this number 7, folks, this is a completion. It's a day of perfection. God's perfection. He said to Naaman, go down 7 times. He had to go down 7 times. David said 7 times. He's going to pray to God. Solomon said, if a just man falls 7 times, he'll rise again. There's something about it. If Naaman had went down 6 times, he wouldn't have been cleansed. If the children of Israel had shouted or talked, uttered their voice before Joshua bid them to, folks, the victory would not have come. Do you know faith doesn't have to be shouted to be heard? Faith does not have to be shouted to be heard. A lot of times, this New Age charismatic move church, they use the profession of shout to cover up the barrenness of their profession. There ain't nothing there, so they're shouting to make it sound and look good. Covering up what's really there. I've been in services that, you've heard me say this. I was in a full gospel church. Hadn't been back there since. And I love these people. But I can tell you this. Something ain't right when a pastor will let an adult person, a 38 to 40-year-old woman, up on this stage wearing a pair of shorts, trying to be the praise and worship leader. Something's not right. Walk into the service. This lady's standing behind the podium. Now, I mean, people's on their feet and they're shouting, they're swaying. They're singing these praise and worship songs off the wall. I ain't got nothing against singing off the wall. If it comes out of the heart. And after a little bit, I went with another man. And you always like to blame somebody else when you're late. We're about 15 minutes late. I ain't going to tell you who the other one man was, because when he tells it, he probably tells me he went with another man and was 15 minutes late. And here comes that lady out. I mean, she's up there, and she's going dancing up and down, and she come out behind that podium, and she goes like this and bows over, got on a little old short-legged pair of shorts. Now, I don't care how long-legged the shorts are. They ain't never been a pair fit for the house of God. Wear them to bed if you want to. They ain't never been a pair fit to wear the church of God. But I don't believe we ought to go to Walmart and a pair of them, but let on to the house of God. And especially when we're part of the leadership. Can I say this while I'm doing as good as I am? Now, today, different things were said. And folks, we can never, Brother Nathan stated this the other day, we can never put on enough clothes to be holy. Clothes is not what makes us holy. But we can sure take off enough to make us unholy. And the dress is not all there is to it. I know that. You know that. But I can tell you when they get up here. If you know somebody told me here, and I can't even, boy, I tell you, my mind's getting so bad. Can't remember who it was. Hadn't been but a few weeks ago. Somebody was coming to visit them and said they didn't bring no dress. All they had was pants. He said, I know how you feel about ladies wearing pants in church. I said, you tell them to come right on. Now, don't faint on me. You tell them to come right on. Now, I ain't going to put them up here on this stage. And if I get a singing group or whoever it may be, I want to know. I've told Brother Billy, we had a group some time ago. I want to know how they dress. I don't want to get them up here and let them be an embarrassment to me. I don't want them to get up here and be a mockery to me. I want to know how they're dressed. Now, if they want to come sit in here, let them come on. If I can't preach the Word of God under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost enough to convict them, then I can tell you, folks, something's alike and something's wrong. Either that person's... You know, if we stay around something long enough, we get to the place we don't think it's wrong. Let me get back to the shout. Hear the children of Israel. Now, I know this. Somebody says, you ain't got scripture for it. Well, I got as much scripture for it as you do against it. Right now, we're just using our preacher's imagination. Them folks didn't want to march 6 days. Didn't take no time. Now, all this time, I can guarantee you, there's somebody saying, now, I don't know about Joshua. You reckon Moses would have done it this way? They done said, the Lord's going to give us the land. Let's go get it. I feel like shouting right now. The reward's following after. And the Lord said, I'll tell you when to shout. There's a time for it. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time and a purpose for what? Everything under the heaven. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to plant. There's a time to pluck that which has been planted. There's a time to build. There's a time to tear down. There's a time for peace. There's a time for war. And if I could say, there's a time to shout. There's a time to keep your mouth shut. How could you add that, Brother Dye? He said, there's a time and a purpose for everything. Joshua said, I'm going to tell you when that time is. Until then, God said, we're not to say anything. Don't utter a sound. And here this charismatic, this New Age church has come in, and they're saying, now listen, folks, I used to think if we didn't get a little radical and I used the people to preach more than what I do now. All of you know I preach different than I've ever preached in the years that God's called me into the ministry, Brother Scott. God's delivered me from the expectation of the people. But I can tell you, folks, when God says there's times that we need to just listen to that still small voice of God, there's times Elijah found himself in a hiding place in a cave, and the Lord sent an earthquake by, and it tried to shake him out, couldn't. And he said that the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. Sent a fire by to burn him out. And he said the Lord wasn't in the fire. And he sent a wind, and the Lord wasn't in the wind. But the still small voice, and the Bible says it was Saul, and Elijah heard it. The Jericho will not fall unless we go by every commandment that God said for us to go by. If we try to add or try to take away, it'll not fall. Listen to this. He said to them, as they take that trumpet, they're marching around the seventh day. I'm not going to get to the part where the walls are going down, but the seventh day, they're to sound them trumpets. They're sounding the trumpets every day, but the seventh day, they're to sound. And then the people gets to be included in that. It's time for the shout. It's time for the shout. Could I say today we're marching toward the greatest victory that we could possibly ever imagine? Folks, this is life or death. And if we miss out on this victory, there's been things that God intended for me to be victorious over, Brother Charles, that I didn't make it. I fell out somewhere along the way. I let the battle of the mind cause me to fall back. And the flesh won out. I didn't accomplish that victory. I didn't conquer that battle. But I can tell you, we're marching in a victory today. The greatest victory ever been known to man. And we can't afford to fall out. We got to, instead of us grabbing a trumpet in the sound, we're to take up our cross and march this victory, knowing that the day will come when He'll say, time will be no more. The victory's yours. You made it. You made it. You've won. The crown of life's waiting for you. Listen, folks, this is life or death in this conflict. There'll be many obstacles, between there, here and there. There'll be many voices, no doubt, that'll try to speak discouragement or defeat to you. But if you'll march on, as Paul said, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Listen, if we'll keep our eyes elevated on Him today, knowing that He is that prize, the reward is following after us, but we've got to win the victory before the reward comes. We've got to win the victory before the reward comes. Somebody come get us a song tonight. I want to give you some scripture. Apostle Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the words spoken unto us were steadfast and ever recompense, ever disobedience received a recompense of just reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Listen, folks, there's a reward, but it's not just a reward to the just. Do you know the unjust will be rewarded also? Every man will receive a just recompense of reward. That's what the word said. It'll be a just reward that we'll receive. The psalmist David, as they're getting a song ready, said in Psalms 19 and 11, in keeping the law, there's great reward. Psalms 58 and 11, there's a reward for the righteous. Jesus said in the book of Revelations, chapter 22 and verse number 12, listen very closely, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his works shall be. How many of you would agree tonight we're marching toward the victories, the rewards following after? The reward is following after.